morning. Our reading is from the first chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, verses 26 to 38, and you may like to follow it on your service sheet. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. So can we just say a quick prayer before Janet speaks to us about that passage? Heavenly Father, we thank you for Janet. We thank you for her heart to serve you. We ask that you fill her this morning with your goodness and your love as she delivers your word to us. We ask you to open our ears to listen and to hear your word. In Jesus' almighty name, amen.
Thanks, Lisette, and thank you, Barbara, for reading. So, all term, we've been looking at who is Jesus, and today we're going right back to the start to look at how Jesus's coming birth was announced by the visit of the angel Gabriel to a teenage girl called Mary. So how do you announce a pregnancy? Okay, you might just go and tell people and say, "Oh, I've got good news for you." Or you might say, "Oh, the patter of tiny feet." These days, the modern way, apparently, to do it is to take a picture of the scan of the baby and post it on a website or post it online and tell people that way. Apparently, you can announce a baby by getting another child to wear a little t-shirt that says, "I'm going to be a big brother or a big sister." Apparently, people also put pictures on social media. So if they're cyclists, they've been known to put a picture of just a baby tricycle on it. Or I saw another picture of a pair of skiers, very keen skiers, and all they did was put a picture of two pairs of skis and then a little pair of baby skis in between. People announce pregnancies in different ways, but sometimes, actually, it's not good news. Sometimes people want to conceal it and not tell people. Recently at staff, I meant to say right at the beginning, we had some good news. So one of the members of staff someone in their family is going to have a baby. So I'm going to let you all try and work out very quickly who is of that sort of age. And the person is Nick Carter in the office. So Nick and his wife Jo are expecting a baby in the new year. And when they told us, we were all really excited. It was such good news to hear that. So next time you see Nick, you can ask and say to him, well, obviously the child will be British, not a Kiwi. See what he says. So there are different ways of announcing a pregnancy. There are different ways of announcing the good news that someone is expecting a baby. But sometimes it's not good news, it's shameful. Sometimes people don't want to tell others. And when Jesus' birth was announced, it happened really strangely. In the middle of the most obscure country, which was Israel, in this obscure town called Nazareth, in this room, there was a teenage girl called Mary. She was not a nun in the convent. She was just a normal teenage girl. And suddenly an angel comes, an angel, Gabriel, and says, basically, you're going to be pregnant, you're going to have a baby, and the baby's going to be called Jesus. Jesus means he saves, from the Hebrew Yeshua, he saves. That was a pretty unusual, very miraculous announcement. I've never heard of another one in quite the same way there. So if you sort of look on the sheets, it says in the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, verse 28, 26, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth to a virgin pledged to be married. Her name was Mary. So she was engaged. You couldn't break off an engagement unless you actually got divorced. It was a sort of stronger, if you like, the last stage before an actual wedding. And we're told the person she was engaged to was called Joseph, and he was descended from a very famous king, King David. So God sends this angel to announce this miraculous birth. But 6 months previously, God had also sent the same angel to Zechariah. He was an elderly priest in the temple. He had an elderly wife called Elizabeth, who had never been able to have children. And Gabriel said, you're going to bear a son called John the Baptist. But this time, the angel Gabriel comes to Mary and says, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. God's favor rests on Mary. God has chosen Mary. She is a receiver of God's grace. But obviously she's a little bit troubled. And often when people are sort of filled with fear, when something supernatural like an angel happens to them. And so the angel says, don't be afraid. That's a bit of a cheek, actually. If I was a teenage girl suddenly told I was going to be pregnant, I might be a bit afraid. But he says, don't be afraid. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you're to call him Jesus. So even before the conception, the angel says it's going to be a baby, and it's going to be a baby boy. And the angel tells him what name, tells her what name to say. Jesus, Yeshua, he saves. But the angel tells Mary a little bit about what the baby is going to be like. Now these days when people become pregnant and they're going to have a child, they spend some time saying, is it going to be a girl? Is it going to be a boy? Is it going to be like him or like her or like my uncle? Do you think they'll be good at dancing or good at football? And often you just don't know. These days you can do a test and find out what gender the baby's going to be, but you just have to wait for that surprise to find out what character the child's going to be like. Though if it kicks a lot, I think we all say, I've got a little footballer coming. So, what does Gabriel say about Jesus? He says, he will be great. That's verse 32. He will be great. Okay? He'll be called the Son of the Most High. The Most High is the name for the one true God. And they say he's going to be the Son of the Most High. Later on in the chapter, in verse 76, John the Baptist, we're told, is going to be a prophet of the Most High, but sons trump prophets. And so he says Jesus is going to be even greater. He's going to be the Son of the Most High God. Then the angel goes on and says, the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Give him the throne. That is a way of saying he's going to be a king. He's going to be anointed, the anointed king in the line of David. The angel says he'll reign forever. His kingdom will never end. In other words, Jesus will be the Messiah. He will rule forever and ever. Now, because Mary is engaged to Joseph, he's a descendant of David. When they're married and when they have the baby, Jesus will obviously be adopted as Joseph's son, and so legally he becomes of the line of David. But how on earth is all this going to happen? Now, in the first century, they may not have known as much science as we do, but they did know a little bit about biology, and it's a mystery. How did it happen? The angel says, the Holy Spirit will come on you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And then as a bit of confirmation, the angel says, look at your cousin Elizabeth, that elderly lady who was never able to have children. She's now going to have a child in her old age. That word, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you, is that same word used when the glory of God hangs over or rests on the tabernacle in the desert. Jesus is called the Holy One to be born, the Son of God. We say he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, but when he was born, he was truly holy. He was pure. He was divine. He's called the Son of God, the true Son of God. And then that verse I used at the beginning of the prayers, I love this verse, 37, for no word from God will ever fail. In the RSV it says, for nothing will be impossible with God. The Authorized Version, for with God nothing shall be impossible. I do not know exactly how that virgin birth took place, but I have a faith that if God can make the whole world, if God can create the world, if he can make trees and animals and seas and mountains and oceans and people, yes, he can make a virgin conceive and grow a baby boy in her womb. God can do things we think impossible. God can do miracles. He can change people and situations. And when God promises something, it will happen. A few times in my life, I feel I've received a particular promise from God, or a line in the Bible has jumped out at me, and I've just held on to it. So at the moment in my life, there's a promise from God. I've printed out on a bit of paper, and I keep it at the back of this. I keep it in various rooms around the house. And every now and again, I go and look at it, and I read it, and I hold on to it. God will fulfill what he promises. So how does Mary respond? Obedience, humility, submission. A bit different from the elderly priest, Zechariah. She says, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. She recognized God's will and promise, and she simply accepted, just let it be the way you have said. So what have we learnt about Jesus? We've learnt that his birth was prophesied by an angel. He was born of a virgin mother, Mary. We learnt that an angel, Gabriel, came and announced his coming. We've learnt by his name, Yeshua, Jesus, it means to save, that he came to save. We've learnt that he was divine, that he was holy. He was not born with that ability or that willingness to sin. We've learnt he is the Son of the Most High God. We've learnt that Jesus will reign forever and ever and ever and ever. We've learnt that he comes to be King, Messiah. We're going to be singing about Jesus' birth over the next few weeks at all our carol services. And just like Lisette said, please bring other people to the midweek carol service in 2 weeks' time. And just look again at the words of the carols. So let's just reflect on Mary's response to that supernatural encounter. Mary said, "Let it be to me, let your word be fulfilled." Let's reflect that with God, nothing is impossible. God can do anything. Our final hymn that Katie chose today, just have a look over the page. Our final hymn is "The Angel Gabriel from Heaven Came, His Wings as Drifted Snow, His Eyes as Flame." But I wanted just to finish by reading the second verse. "Fear not, for you shall bear a holy child. By him, by Jesus, shall we be to God reconciled. His name shall be Emmanuel, the long foretold, most highly favored lady, Gloria."